If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the living word and light, excuse me, of Christ, most radiant one. I had to laugh because I croaked like a crow just then. Anyway, I greet you, and you're listening to Commander Lady Athena and the Ashtar Galactic Command. So tonight our topic is humorous, lighthearted, and I hope fun for all of us. And the title is Watching Your Game from a Distance. Hey, love, are we having fun yet? You know, Sai Baba said, life is a game. Play it. Life is a dream. Realize it. Life is love. Enjoy it. And I think life can be fun when we remember to remind ourselves that life here is a game and a dream. And only the love is real and eternal. And the love is actually who and what we are. And when we remember it, yes, we can enjoy it. So this seminar, we will be examining who is at the head of your parade. I used to laugh because Sai Baba very often in interviews would look at us and say, how's your parade? And when you stop to think about it, when he looks at the Akashic records of any one of us, our life must really look like a parade, especially we have, you know, lots of kids or even lots of husbands and multiple kids and multiple dramas. Can you imagine how funny that must look to a totally God-realized person? So, who is a drum major or drum majorette that's leading your parade? Is it your true self or your false self? Clue. Ready for the clue? The false self is dead serious. It's the grumpy old out-of-sorts one that everybody has to tiptoe around. You know, the old knickers up the crack person. Got the picture? And your true self is the lighthearted one that everybody runs to for comforting and a cuddle. The person that's aglow with the loving. So, I think that gives us a humorous and also a visual imagery of what we're talking about here. So, those of you who are mirthful minstrels may want to make a song that comes up basically with this theme. And we could look at it this way. We came here in our true self to experience and misidentify with a false self, which helps us to remember our true self and return home in our true self, home. So, there you have it. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward into perfect alignment with your true self. Go ahead. Be outrageous and just go for what you want. Perfect alignment with your true self. And now take another deep breath. And ask that you be given more conscious awareness of your true self. And ask that all other energies that are no longer necessary for you to engage with simply be cleared now through the grace of Christ. And if you haven't a clue, which I suppose a lot of us don't have, of exactly how to recognize your true self, then try recalling a time when you felt totally on top of the world, completely exhilarated, happy, free, empowered, and on purpose. And that will serve us as a place to begin our journey. Now, by definition, your true self is your divine self. So it's safe. You don't have to worry about looking for it. It's actually looking for you. So your true self is the one that's always at peace and happy and centered and is always loving and positive and empowered and has great clarity and wisdom. And yes, it's there in you right now. Though the false self may have temporarily distracted your awareness of it. So, you always feel great when you are participated and participating in your real self. Now, your false self is the one with all the grump and angst and drama and all the gnarly concerns. It's the one with the fear and the doubts and the grievances. And it is your false self that has actually constructed that sense of bondage and confinement that so many people experience. And also that place, that pit of abysmal depression and emptiness that many people come up against, which is like that wall that you keep bumping into when you try to lift into a more positive place. So it's what obstructs our awareness of limitless joy and love. Now you can easily tell when you're in your false self because you'll have that feeling of entrapment. And it's like you're suffocating in your own stuff, your own whatevers that are negative and heavy. So the energy is heavy. And you know, when you're in that state, you just tend to project and blame it upon something, anyone, anything outside of yourself. Because that is how you're trying to buy some breathing room, some space, some wiggle room to survive under that heaviness. Now the truth is, you've never been bound ever at any time except by your own negative interpretations. It's the interpretation, the things we tell ourselves, the story we run about the people, events, and circumstances of our lives. So being true to yourself begins with a very simple process of paying attention to where you are placing your attention and watching yourself, as it were, from a distance. So get the sense of that. Just backing off from the drama and beginning to see yourself from a much higher level of observation. Just rise up. You can use a helium balloon. You can use a spaceship. You can use anything that you want as a conveyance, or you can simply move your inner awareness to the perspective of soul and look at your life very impassionately without any form of judgment. Don't even identify yourself with the character that's walking around in this enchilada in time and space. See it as an actor on the stage. And just notice that whenever you're unhappy and out of sorts, without running any kind of comparison or judgment or making yourself wrong. Just notice the circumstances. Examine the evidence of your life like a scientist would examine a bug under a microscope. Very impersonally. And just see, who or what have I allowed to distract me from my true self? I, allowed, is your key here. Because we are the ones that are the doorkeepers to the dimensional portals of our consciousness, to our gateways, as it were. The major gateways being the five senses, and primarily amongst those would be the eyes. Be aware that we don't actually see through the eyes, but that the eye itself is the light of inner awareness looking through those eyeballs. So you see by the light of your true self. Now, you can see through the veil of the false self and its mental agenda that it keeps projecting, its game, if you will, or that veil can be lifted through choosing to move to the level above the disturbance and simply looking at it. It's amazing how simple, bare observation, without reaction, will clear almost anything. It's a very, very simple and powerful key that's been practiced and known to all the ancient civilizations. So the idea is to become aware of yourself, to bust yourself in the midst of expressing your game, your false self game, and to expose it in the midst of running its victim agendas. And that alone will begin to clear and shift and lift your energy and raise your vibration and begin to dissolve those false and illusory energetics that have caused you to feel oppressed and bound. Again, it's not to be against, nor to polarize in negativity, or to disown the false self. For in these levels of polarity, it's actually the false self that serves in our identifying our true self. So you can consider it like a directional sign. And everything that you look at through the eyes of your true self will start to clear. The negativity will simply dissolve through grace, the grace of your own blessedness and holiness looking through your eyes, and balance is restored. How simple is that? To look from your true self is to look with the eyes of God, with the gaze of goodness and compassion. Always look at yourself with the gaze of God, one of goodness and benefaction and compassion. All judgment ended at the cross of Jesus the Christ. He took it all so that you could be made the righteousness of Christ without wrinkle or blemish, pure and holy in the sight of God. Whether you're running your false self or any self in between, you are loved, beloved, acceptable, and you're probably very humorous to God. Probably the masters have a good hee-haw, not only at looking at your Akashic records and your game, but also their own. In fact, Sai Baba said that at night he doesn't sleep, that he laughs and laughs as he looks at his many escapades and his previous lifetimes. So I think we need to laugh and laugh at our charades too, because, you know, when you get high enough, it's all Looney Tunes, none of it means anything, and it's a good laugh. So anyway, this process of looking from a higher consciousness at the, very objectively, at that which is going on in the lower levels, the Zen Buddhists have brought into a tradition and refined this practice as a form of meditation, which I've spoken of several times. It's called Vipassana. But basically, it's simply the impersonal observation of that which is passing through your mind and emotions without doing anything with it, but simply observing these states. So you could also call this as looking through the eyes of the master. Your inner masterful self is another way to identify your true self. It's your soul or Atma. So all you're doing is recognizing patterns of energy. Energies that are aligned with eternal truth and therefore are part of your true self and its nature forever. You can never lose your true self, so there's nothing to fear. And energies that are transitory and belong to your temporal self. But that temporal self, the false self, is always filled with the fear of the loss of itself. And rightly so, because it will be dissolved in time. That's not anything that you're going to take with you. But, like I said before, it can reflect back to you things that are very useful in these lower levels of polarity and duality. So it's a dance between the real and the unreal, the illusion and the truth, and death and immortality. And, of course, death again is the illusion that the false self is especially afraid of, and the true self is aware that it lives forever, so it actually has no fear. That's what really the deeper meaning of perfect love casts out all fear. Your high self, your true self, your divine self is pure love. So it transcends all fear. When you're expressing from your lower or false self, the Christian way of defining that, which I think is very useful, is that you are said to be living in the flesh. That's the flesh man, the Sukhi man it's called. The carnal nature, rather than your new nature in Christ, or your spirit man. So you have a flesh nature and a spiritual nature, contending to operate through your body and mind down here in these lower dimensions. So people who operate out of their false self or flesh nature are always predictably unstable, unhappy, and driven by ever-changing passions of their lower natures. And I would say probably discontent would be their overall default setting. So since we live in a world in which most people are basically operating out of these lower natures, and seldom, in many cases, if ever, from their true selves, we are challenged, those of us who are choosing to live a life of conscious spiritual awareness, to really discern what we want to come into agreement with. As we listen to things on the television or in the media, or we are engaged in relationships with people as we go about our daily life, in our workplace, wherever we find ourselves, we become increasingly sensitive to what we want to lend agreement to and what we want to abstract our attention and energy engagement from. That's everything from participating in certain lines of communication or you know, where people just get together and start to talk. You become more and more discerning where you want to place yourself. Because, you know, the human body is limited in terms of the time, the length of time that we have here, the amount of information we can actually host in our mind at any given point, and just how much of the biophysical energy we have to invest in this particular relatively short 410 years that we have here on this planet. So if we are attaining a level of spiritual maturity where it's very feasible that this is going to be our last time here in this physical dimension of duality, and we're getting ready to graduate into the higher divine God realms, then we're going to be very, very discerning what we say, what we think, what we watch, and what we want to spend time involved with. And so part of this is to know where you have your weaknesses. You know, identify the areas where you have chinks in your spiritual armor. We all come in with areas where we are predisposed to go off, you know, off track. And part of self-realization is to begin to look at yourself very objectively without, you know, mood-making and making yourself greater than you are, but very objectively, as if you were looking at a complete stranger, assessing, okay, these are the areas where I tend to get waylaid, where I tend to, you know, head south, and I get distracted. So those are the areas you need to really be attentive to. But know also that the lower self, the false self, is really great at rationalizing and excusing and drawing up all sorts of things that make you feel quite justified to stay in falsehood, in negativity, in judgment, in againstness, and in running your ego games. So just be aware of that, that the nature of the lower mind, the ego mind, as I've often spoke of, is actually the form that your false self takes. It takes the form of your lower mind, not your higher mind. That's your intuitive inner knower, but your lower mind that thinks and reasons and plots and strategizes down here in the lower levels. So as you practice observing your patterns, you begin to discern your areas of weakness. And in fact, you have a helper in this. Those would be your so-called enemies and button pushers. They will help you locate these exact areas where you're weak. And in fact, your weakness is what calls forward and attracts people with exactly the same patterns that they're running, or the exact polar opposite of the patterns that you're running. But either way, it's game on when you meet one of these button pushers and, you know, you really go at it. And this is where it can be fun or it can be quite miserable. But just know that you actually invited these so-called enemies, these button pushers, these burrs under the saddle blanket. You actually called them to you and into your arena so that you could actually, in fact, observe the interaction of the false and the true within your patterns and jettison that which you don't want. Therefore, you know, in addition to observing yourself, you also need to observe the people that you are attracting into your orbit. This is a really good thing you might even want to make a list of the major people in your life, the ones that you have really loved and felt in harmony with, and also the general pattern that the negative experiences and relationships have brought up for you. You will find that there's a general pattern. And once you identify the pattern, you can see the polarity that is keeping it in place and what you need to shift in your inner awareness to transcend it. So this is a game of consciousness patterns, of energies at play. So, you know, you can forget thinking about yourself as either simply a student or even as the teacher, because we will continually alternate between both roles. One moment we're the student, one moment we're the teacher. One moment we're the master, the next moment we're the fool. One moment we're the clown, the next moment we're the, the romantic interest, you know, it just dances all over the place. So we might as well have fun. And as we engage with the players in this great game of life, we, you know, we play off of each other's energies. Whatever is presented, we'll tend to call that forth in yourself unless you exercise conscious awareness. In other words, we will naturally tend to morph into the vibrational field of the people, places, and things that we spend time in. We take on the mannerisms and the characteristics and the qualities of the people that we spend the most time with. That's why, again, if you want to step free in this lifetime, you really watch who you spend a lot of time with. You know, don't spend time with people who are not headed anywhere on purpose with their life if you really want to attain something that has purpose in your life. It's very important to exercise discernment in all things in this life so that your choices are in alignment with what you have stated you want to achieve in this lifetime. You're the one that needs to set the stage and to position yourself to receive and participate in whatever it is that you wish to cultivate. So, it's a fun game, all of this play of life, until we take it personally. So, take note. Taking something, anything, personally, is the first sign that you're moving into the flesh and acting from the false self. And that is where you take whatever has been said or done as a personal attack and you feel offended. So watch those things that cause you to feel defensive. That's your false self trying to build up a case against someone or something. Because know that your true self doesn't need to be defended. It's never offended, so it never needs to be defended. So don't be offended. You'll observe that those who operate habitually out of the false self, they seem to go around with that chip on their shoulder that shouts, "Go ahead, make my day. Just try to knock that off." And they're kind of like that stub toe that keeps getting bumped against everyone and everything. And so you walk around like a stub toe in a cactus suit, and everywhere it's an owie or a prickly, and not a very fun place to live from. So, again, take a deep breath and kick back and just go into neutral and just observe. Again, without judging yourself, without making yourself right or wrong or anything, just look and see what's there. And notice if you tend to take people, things people say and do personally. Is that a pattern you recognize in yourself? Do you often view things as a personal attack aimed at hurting you in some way? You're looking through eyes that are not seeing through the Master's gaze. And so, just notice that there's another way that you could be viewing this. There's another way that you could be seeing peace in this situation. You could be extending loving. You could be just holding a neutral place. It's not necessary to respond to everything that's said. It's not necessary to answer every email, to respond to every post. It's not necessary to go looking for trouble. You know, you can keep your focus on your own life and your own 10 acres and the things that you are directly responsible for, and kind of let everybody else do the same. We tend to really go into the false self when we try to control and manipulate and dictate how other people have to act around us. You know? Nobody can change how another person acts. We can only change how we respond to that action, or not. We don't have to answer the phone when it rings. We don't have to answer the knock on the door. We don't have to lend a comment or an opinion. We really don't. If you don't feel like responding, if it's not in alignment with what you want to energize, let it go. The world will keep doing what it's going to do. And you've noticed that the world is fueled by gossip and slander and looking at what other people are doing with their bodies and with whom and how often and all, you know, things that don't mean anything to you, do they? So it's important to recognize where you're lending power and importance in your life. Are you sowing seeds that will grow and produce a harvest of truth? Or are you sowing those tares, you know, those weeds amongst the wheat of truth? So if you want to know the truth that will set you free, then you're going to need to identify where you are entangled in falsehood and get untangled. It sounds simple, doesn't it? Just untangle yourself. The way you walked in is the way you back out. So back out of complexity. Confusion and complexity are always indications that you're involved in an area that is not divinely anointed. God's anointing never comes onto strifeful situations. Harmony and one accord is absolutely necessary to be divinely anointed. That is to say, divinely blessed and advanced in your position, whatever it is that you're praying for that empowerment to fulfill. So guiding yourself out of strife is one of the most important things that you could possibly do if you want that divine empowerment, that divine anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And without that, you know, you're on shifting sand. You can't build on anything but the solid rock of the Word of God, which is truth. That never changes. So spirituality is all about cultivating greater conscious awareness of divine truth and virtue and beauty and love. All of these are revelations of the higher life. So the more consistently we can direct our thoughts and emotions and behavior Godward, the sooner we will attain the state of inner and outer freedom that we call spiritual liberation. And maintaining our true center of loving and peace is a matter of watching. You know, it's that watching how we operate throughout the day. It's, you know, you could call it meditation on the hoof. You know, being present with your life as it happens, but watching it, you know, from a distance. So remember, your true self is impersonal. That is its, I think, single most predominant characteristic. It just doesn't take things personally. It simply recognizes that all negative states have their origin in the false self. And these negative states arise in the people around us due to their previous choices of energy usage and focus. In other words, they're the karma. They're the result, the residual of actions that people have already engendered within their own levels. So they have nothing whatsoever to do about you. In fact, you'll notice that people, when they're in their false self, it's all about them. You know, they create drama all about them. There's no vestige of anything that you need to be taking notice of when people are in their stuff. In fact, you'll help them more if you simply abstract your attention and don't reward the negative self with attention. We know as parents that really works with our children. Reward them when they're in a state of consciousness that is noteworthy and that you want to increase in them. But abstract your attention from the areas that they're just trying to game play and mood make and manipulate you out of from their negativity. So these are skills that we can practice, you know, wherever we are, all the time, 24/7. Makes a fabulous spiritual exercise to be involved with all the time. And I think it's fun. It's one of the most enjoyable things that I do all the time. I don't ever not do this. I'm continually living my life as a continual meditation, a continual refining of my own awareness and my own skill in appropriating energy that I want to enhance in my own life. So, observing yourself, you learn to discern the true from the false and to increasingly direct yourself accordingly. And the more you cultivate spiritual discernment, the greater your awareness becomes, and again, the more selective you become in where you choose to invest your energy. Your energy of awareness is literally your God self. It's literally your God power. That's the energy of awareness. That is the God within you that manifests as that energy of awareness with a capital A. So when you value truth, and above all else want to know that truth that will set you free, you're going to be very vigilant in where you are investing yourself. So you're careful not to squander your precious time and life force upon paying tribute to falsehood in any form. You know, in any form. And you watch your words and learn to give voice only to what you want to give life to. You know, God sent His Word and created everything that exists out of His Word. And on a very many, many, many level, the human being does the same thing. We send forth our Word and give life to the circumstances that we then experience and encounter. So make that connection between what you give voice to and realize that is what you are giving life and manifestation to. Wow. That kind of makes us watch our words, doesn't it? So your words, when they're aligned with the highest truth, become the very oracles, the very words of God. And I have told you in innumerable seminars that the human, the Homo sapien, is the only creature in all of creation that has been given the ability to speak for and as God. Not that we are God, but we are an extension of that living Word of God. And our voice, our words, are the vehicle through which the Holy Spirit speaks and bears witness to truth. So when we're in alignment with truth, we are designed to bear witness to the truth in our thought, word, and deed. So the words of a spiritually integrated person are, wow, they are powerful beyond anything that most of us could even imagine. Now, in ancient times, this was well understood. For example, the edict of the king could never be rescinded. Once that word was given, that was his whole honor and integrity as the king was you know, on the table. So he had to fulfill his commitment. Even if later he thought, oh, wow, I wish I hadn't said that, he still had to fulfill it. So actually, we can thank God that in divine mercy, words spoken out of the false self, you know, comparatively speaking, have very puny effects. And that's why when you speak a lie, you know, the lie detector indicates that. And when you're muscle tested and you lie, your whole energy drops and you become weak. So only truth is given strength and support in this universe, which is actually a manifestation of the truth mixed with the fallen thought forms that entered in with the fall. So words spoken out of the false self actually remain in the aura of the sender, and they fortify that sense of feeling cut off and imprisoned. The scriptures say that we eat the fruit of our words. And in our mouth, we have the power of life or death. Now, we can vivify that which is true, which is life, or we can actually begin the process of entropy or disintegrating ourselves through our own negativity, because negativity invites destruction always. Evil always destroys itself. That's why the villain in the end never wins. So just the way it is. So you are only going to find support in being your true self. And when you are manifesting that true self, it's like the whole of the universe begins to take care of you, begins to support you. It's so interesting. When we live from the true self, we find that support shows up in our personal lives in many, many forms that maybe you haven't really made that connection with. For example, when you are living from your truth, from your true self, I'm talking about your divine self, made in the image and likeness of God, you have health, abundance, a virtuous character that gives rise to a good reputation, and you earn respect and honor. Even your enemies will regard you with favor if you have a virtuous character. You know, you will be noteworthy and rewarded by even the favor of your so-called enemies. When you're a person that is true to your word, that lives according to your own values and convictions, and you operate out of the integrity of a person that won't be compromised for any reason. You won't compromise your standards or sell out for anything in this world. And that's respected by everyone. Good, bad, or indifferent, that draws respect. And that's because when we're in tune with our true self, we are also in tune, in step, and in harmony with God, which is the divine principle of truth itself. So the physical body that's in harmony with its true nature, and thus with God, remains strong and healthy. It has little to no stress, retains its youth and longevity, has a normal blood pressure, And its immune system is very strong. The emotional body is also healthy, and it expresses that by being positive and optimistic and giving rise to sweetness of temperament and patience and centered composure. It's natural to be loving and kind and sweet when you're healthy, which is in tune with your truth, with the truth. And the mental body also is quiet and serene. And when that mental body is quiet and serene, like a pellucid lake, a mirrored surface of a lake, the divine spirit then imparts and drops revelation and illumination into your awareness. So it's absolutely mandatory to be in that higher true self and calm and centered and serene in order to really see in the spirit. We need to look beyond the outer forms, through those forms, which are like veils, into the heart of all things. We can only do that when we're very, very centered and still within our subtle bodies. So the entire body, emotion, and mind complex has become a holy sanctuary in which the divine presence resides and through which it expresses through our thoughts, our feelings, our words, our actions, our behavior, and our interactions with people every day. And we discern as we exercise this conscious awareness in living from our true self that we have awakened to the truth. And we know that because all of a sudden we are free. I think that's the greatest thing you could ever do for yourself, is to set yourself free from all the things that you have tried to shield yourself from. You know, when you are ever-expanding divine love, where and what do you need to protect yourself from? It's like your total vulnerability is your most perfect protection. When you regard the world simply as an arena for divine interchange and plays of consciousness and expressions through a myriad of different valences and lenses of perspective, and that each soul is in a laboratory of its own inquiry into the many nuances of consciousness and energy. You know, it's exciting, it's beautiful. It becomes a dance, it becomes alive, it becomes something that you don't have to fear. You don't have to look at what's happening in Washington and buy into the game of false selves. Why would you do that? Why would you let yourself be played in that way? When you're in that higher consciousness, you see that all things are working themselves together according to a divine plan that, believe it or not, is proceeding just fine. In fact, according to the divine plan, it was completed a long time ago. We've really just had a very long field trip into a holodeck of consciousness programming. But in highest truth, we've remained home in the heart of the all it is. We are still in the heart of God. We are still within the heart of the heart of the heart of the great, 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 great central sun that we call the cosmic Christos. We are in the very lap of all that ever was and all that will ever be. And yet it is continually expanding as we move into the what's been described as the glory realms of the imperishable star worlds, God worlds. which are not under duality, polarity, and fallen thought forms. The worlds of Ein Sof, limitless light, limitless truth, limitless love, limitless beauty. Can we even imagine that? Well, let's try. You know, without vision, the people perish. They shrivel and live dismal lives without the vivification of vision. We who are visionaries, it is our dharma to share the visions that we see through that higher clairvoyance, that higher clear seeing that comes when you're looking through the eyes of the beloved, through the indwelling light within you, the God mind, the God sight, the God view, the Deva Drishti, God vision. Look at the world from the vision of God, looking through your eyes, and you will find that everyone is worthy of love and respect and compassion and tenderness and comforting. People, when they're in their false self, blinded and deluded by misidentifying themselves, they are in such a sad state that we need to be vigilant, vigilant, vigilant for any way that we can lift and uplift and comfort and encourage and bless and ameliorate the lives around us. What can we do today, tonight, to be a blessing? Has God placed someone upon your heart to pray for or to send a light to or to send an encouraging word, perhaps in an email? I received an email today that absolutely put me in tears. It was from a person who was speaking from their Christed loving. It was the most compassionate, tender, Christ-like email I have ever received in my life. And it was from a young woman who is a Montessori teacher in Amsterdam, Holland. I love her like my own flesh and blood sister, and yet we have never met. But no one could be closer to me than this young woman that I've never actually physically met. But she bears my heart and my joys and my sorrows and all the things I go through as if it were her own, with such purity and such absolute selfless divinity. I don't even know how to appropriately respond, because it's rare that you have a person in such an exalted state of self-bestowal. Truly, it is Christ-like. So, we are living in an arena of energy in which we can choose at any moment what we are going to give to one another, what we are going to extend. And when we write or say or do whatever it is that we write or say or do, is it something that we would like have received ourselves? Are those the words that we would benefit from having spoken into our lives? You know, you have to think, particularly in this impersonal medium that we have of emails and cyberspace relationships, how important it is for us to put the smile and the giggle and the loving and the tenderness in our words. You know, the words. How we need to be wordsmiths, constantly, you know, refining the words until they're pure gold, until they impart life every time we speak them. And as we do that, as we learn to live from this ever-expanding divine awareness that is our true, ongoing, eternal life. Our new reference points really shift to becoming those of all-embracing, loving, self-bestowal, and active goodwill towards all beings, to all creation. And living from this state releases us. And we become a blessing that is imparting grace with every glance, everywhere we are, every word we speak. We become the bestowers of heavenly benediction at all times. And the joy that that releases is something that nothing and no one in these worlds could ever mar or diminish. And it's a peace that is entirely unaffected by the world, and it's currently and constantly recycling dramas. And it's also a sense of safety and security that is firmly established forever in eternal truth itself. So, you have indeed entered into the state of God consciousness, and you are at home with God in a state that never ends, but ever expands into infinite glory. So, I speak and release the word of God and His kingdom come into the lives of each one of you listening tonight, that you may be delivered and set free in whichever area or areas you need it the most, according to whatever is for your highest good. For God sent His word and healed all their diseases, and dis-ease comes from buying into falsehood, and wholeness and health, the shalom of God, comes upon those of us who choose to be in perfect alignment with our true self and choose to live from that life eternal. Let's go out chanting, Anai. You. Deep breath. Anai, you. Anai, you. Listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command, wishing you good evening and have a blessed week. Adonai.